Hello and welcome back to the Relationship Matters podcast. We believe relationship matters from humanity to nature to the larger whole. I'm your host, Katie Churchman, and in this episode, I'm talking with CRR Global faculty member Chris Howell about improvisation in relationship. Across this conversation, we discuss a range of topics, including the golden rule of improvisation and how it applies to relationships, the benefits of improvisation for systems coaches, how the AWS tools and techniques can help us to embrace an improviser mindset, the benefits of an improviser mindset when co-coaching and co-leading, and the importance of a yes-and mindset in leadership, love, and life. Chris Howell is an experienced team and leadership coach, known for his energetic presence, empathy, and engaging style. His understanding of systems emerged through his experience in designing information technology and managing change in organizations. He always focused on the people and relationships in the system. His awareness of psychology, NLP, and organizational development helps him to make the connections between heart, mind, and all levels of emotional intelligence within the human system. Chris now facilitates leadership development programs and coach training courses, as well as coaching executives and teams for international corporations. Chris is passionate at supporting community and nonprofit organizations. He founded a community organization in a deprived area of Southeast London, which continues to support members of the local community to express their voice. He has also supported leadership development for teenagers in the same community, helping them find purpose, confidence, and who they are as leaders. Chris continues to enjoy learning about relationship based in Kent on the south coast of the UK. So without further ado, I bring you Chris Howell, talking about improvisation in relationship. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. I am so excited to have you on the show today.
I'm excited to be here, Katie. Thank you.
And we've got a wonderful topic today, improvisation in relationship. And I wonder if we can start by talking about, well, firstly, what is improvisation? What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's comes out of, like, I first heard it listening to, I think it was the Comedy Players on radio, and how they were using improv and like the way that they were coming up with lots of different ideas. And I've had over the years opportunity to go and actually do it myself. You know, like there are groups and people who run this sort of thing for fun. And like the key rule in improvisation comedy is that it's called the yes and rule, which means that anything that the other person says, you basically say yes, you accept everything that they say as being, well, they accept it as being true, as being right, and then you add to it. So there's yes, and then there's this.
And so I'm curious then, why improvisation and relationship, or we've called this improvisation in relationship, why do you feel that's so important?
Well, that's a beautiful question. And I think for me, like those two words are just so powerful. I mean, like, think about like the first word and what you're doing there with the first word and what it implies. Well, the first thing is that you're listening to the other person. You need to listen. If you're going to accept what they say and then add to it, you need to listen to what they're saying. So what you're doing there by listening to them is you're hearing the person, what they're contributing. You're acknowledging what they're contributing. You're valuing what they're contributing. And through doing all that, you're acknowledging them as a person. And like, so their presence and what they're bringing, you're including them in what's happening in the process just by that sort of yes to what they have contributed. And like all of these things, like some of these things are like the basic human needs of needing to feel that you exist, that importance of feeling acknowledged, that what you contribute is of value, that sense of being included rather than excluded. So all of these things are like just the basic things with that word yes are hitting some of our basic fundamental human needs. So like I just feel that's so powerful. And then like the listening, we're just like, we're increasing just by doing this, we're increasing and developing our skill of listening, listening in relationship with the other person. And by doing that listening, we're really respecting the other person, you know, all of this acknowledging and their contribution and valuing, we're respecting who they are and where they come from through doing that. Then the and that we bring in, that it emphasizes that inclusivity, that including everything that they've said, including them and their contribution in what it is that we say. And like, that's fascinating then, the and bit, because we can add something to what they say. And it could be something that continues the same idea further along a journey, or it could be something that we bring in, go in a completely different direction, you know, adding in other ideas to what's been said before. And then you can end up, and I love this thing about when you bring in things that are very different, like this is sort of where creativity comes from. You know, you talk to anybody who writes a play or writes a book, especially people who, I mean, I've done some research into people doing comedy and how they do it. What's the structure, the thinking, the mindset to do comedy? And it, the essential bit is bringing in two very different ideas and then working out how they can be connected. And this is sort of exactly what you're doing in improvisation. It sort of like creates that creativity. And it links in, like, there's some neuroscience behind this as well, which is like Hebb's law, they call it, which says that what fires together wires together. So you've got two different parts of the brain which may be having very different ideas, which fire at the same time with these two paradoxically, you know, mutually exclusive apparently ideas. And then because of this, the brain starts to connect these together. And the way that you find for the brain to connect, this is where the sort of creativity comes from. The brain being so amazing that it's like this quantum engine in your head that comes up with this ideas that we wouldn't have been able to think of previously. And this is all happening in relationship, all happening out of the relationship. And also we talk about the third entity. And so what we're saying, those two words, yes, and, we're just manifesting the creativity, we're manifesting the third entity through this improvisation process.
And I love where you're pointing us to the magic of this. It goes way beyond the language of yes, and. And I remember years ago when I started to learn this in my acting training, people told me that this isn't just a language, it's a way of being. So you can't just say, yes, and I think you're wrong, because that's not a yes, and attitude or mindset. It's a real way of being. And I think it can be so invaluable to us, well, yes, as coaches, but as human beings in general.
Yes, I love that. And that's exactly, for me, that's part of like why it's so resonant with us as human beings. That valuing each other, and then how can we add to what the other person said? And as like you say, so if you say, well, I'm disagreeing with what you say, and I'm adding something that disagrees with you, you're actually, that's not the mindset.
Yes.
The mindset is the yes and mindset. It's about that everything is connected. And that's like a presupposition of that statement, that everything is connected. Mm. And that everything we then say is building upon. And because it presupposes that connection, and when we're doing it, we're looking to see some sort of or explore some sort of connection. Just the fact that we're doing that, that openness to a connection between the two, and if they are very different ideas, then or we go in a different direction, then it creates that sense of that paradox. It has been called a creative tension or a dissonance in psychology. There's actually a sort of like a theory about that, that like the fact that the two ideas might be different creates this sort of energy where we see our brains seek to find the connection or to connect the two or to make it up. And then that's what brings that magic in.
Yeah, and it's amazing to think that so often we're putting up those blockers, that yes, but mindset is probably getting in the way of all of these incredible moments of creativity. And I think what really struck me was when I learned that actually you don't have to say anything at all to embrace this yes and mindset. And how can I bring that as a coach or a leader to my work and to my life just by being there with a yes and stance?
Yeah. And I think, like, certainly for us as relationship systems coaches, the when we're working with systems, to inspire them with this idea, having that yes and mindset. When we in ORSC, we've got this this thing we call the one rule, which is the everyone is right partially. And I think yes and is actually like the practical manifestation of that. When we say yes and, we're saying, yes, you are right. You have a rightness and we accept what you're saying. And we are right too. You know, I'm right too.
Yeah.
And so I'm adding in my rightness. And as you, like, because obviously in the improvisation, the comedy, it's a, you sort of take turns in doing that yes and it builds. And you can do the same in teams. It's even more exciting in teams when you get that story passing on from one to the other, doing that yes or and through the team. And it's just amazing and wonderful. There's something, because we don't know what's happening, and obviously it, because we, as we've said, it's not coming from either one person's idea or another. The ideas that are being generated are coming out of our third entity. They're coming out of our relationship. And because they're coming out of the relationship, nobody can anticipate what's going to happen. We don't know what the outcome is. We don't know what's going to happen next. And it's coming out of that, the relationship. And so this is what, you know, we can manifest the essence, the, that sense of reality of the third entity through, and we talk about different levels of reality, it's through the, it's like it is the dreaming layer of the third entity as we're coming up with these new ideas. And it's coming, emerging from the energy within the third entity. So that energy that we create as we use the yes and at the to and fro of the conversation, there's an energy that's produced in our connection, you know, building rapport as we do that. We're working on how we're collaborating. We're building trust as we work together in this. And there's an essence level, there's an energy of connection that happens between us as we do that. That trust builds up. And as we get more confidence in that trust through the creative process, you know, that's where we start to try more, to be more imaginative, to have more and different ideas. And actually, that's a hugely rewarding and fulfilling process. People who go and do this improv just find it just so much fun. And as coaches, when we're working with systems, it's a positivity talk that we can bring to the systems to be able to, for them to find this connection, find a way of collaborating at those sort of dreaming and essence levels of reality.
And it makes me realize how often we're blocking this magic or this power that we have in relationship. If we think about our work, so often we can get stuck with our assumptions or our expectations about what we expect the system to show up with.
Yes. When you are in the flow of it, you sort of do have to let go attachment to your idea that you, so you have to go with the flow in some way. And yet there's still a connection with your idea in the sense that where you're coming up from, you're coming from yourself. These ideas are coming out of you somewhere in your resources and your entity, your own entity. And that's where it, like, we're into that space of when we let go attachment to something, that we're in that space of the potential of the third entity is where we can go together.
Yeah.
I just say, because it reminds me, like, one of the things about it is it reminds me of the, we have a tool in ORSC called Airlands Work, where we go and visit each person's lands, and then we create a third land called our land, which is the us land. And that's what I sort of sense with where yes and goes as it evolves, that you start off in each person's lands, and you may have some sort of an attachment to what your idea or you want your idea to be. But as you start to build that connection and empathy and that trust, then as you continue with that process, you get into this our land, you create this new space, which neither of the parties or none of the parties in the team would initially have had any sense of.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And at the beginning, we're almost in that shopping list of ideas. And you can see that in certain conversations where people are just talking at each other. And it's this and that and this and that. And actually what the yes and mindset encourages us to do, and the third entity with that, is the building a chain of ideas together. It's that collaboration. And I think that is so powerful, because now we're in a very different space together. We're not just in our own little boxes trying to prove ourselves right. We're working together to find, I guess this is in many ways a tool for alignment. It just struck me.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's like you're creating that our land, and our land is that space of alignment.
Yeah.
And you mentioned about alignment, because alignment in ORSC is a process for coming from a place potentially of conflict, but obviously to like different positions, and then finding something in common. And then through finding something in common, sort of we take the problem or issue out of the relationship, so that we can design around a way to go in the future, an aligned way to path to follow in the future. And so I think like the beauty of this, like the yes and process, and as a way of resolving, I'd say use the word conflicts, but I mean like different perspectives or different ideas,
yeah,
differences of point of view between people. It's like, first of all, to be able to do it, you need to have some sort of trust and rapport and sense of what you're doing. And also the desire to have some fun and to create something, it is such an enjoyable process. It's just such a fun thing to do, where you find this connection with somebody and you create something together. And it's just as you say there, I mean, you mentioned about like it's about relationship. It is relationship, because it is relationship in the sense that, I mean, I work a lot coaching in organizations and with leaders particularly, and leadership is this, like quite often, this balance between, you have to find this bright balance between task and relationship. And one of the things about task, and it probably relates to that part of the brain we call the task mode network, which is very structured. So you have that structured part of your brain, and then you have the where you can organize your time and everything is very precise, follows a process. But then the what we call the default mode network, or the relationship, you can never necessarily predict what's going to happen in a relationship. And like, this is the challenge for leaders, to be able to have this balance between predicting what's going to happen and controlling it, and then letting go so that you can be there with the people where you don't have control, and that you have maybe influence, but you're looking for that control. And this yes and, it's in that space of not having control, of improvising with what's happening in the moment. And like you said earlier, it gives you that sense of mindset of finding people right and accepting them for who they are as human beings, and then adding something and being able to handle what's happening in the moment. And even for us as coaches, and you mentioned about this as us as coaches, about how the stance we're taking when we're working with the system.
That's so fascinating about how we can use this as a way to help relationships find alignment. And it makes me think of what we say, alignment we hold is always available, but not always accessed. And this isn't about agreement necessarily. And I know the language of yes and makes it seem like we're always agreeing, but actually it's aligning so we can move forward together. And what a powerful strategy for leadership, love and life, I would say, because so often we're not in alignment. We're in different spaces trying to sort of fight our corner, hold our ground around something, and turning away from relationship, I would say.
Yeah, it's interesting, because you're touching on quite a lot maybe of what's happening in the world at the moment. I mean, I read an article about artificial intelligence, talking about how, you know, the thoughts in that was how, you know, you've got this process going on of drawing people away from that time of being in relationship with others and developing the skills of being in relationship. You know, first we had television, and then people spent hours watching that. Then there was computers, then there's the internet, And now we have artificial intelligence. I'm hearing about these stories about, you know, you've got your push button friend on your mobile that anytime you want someone to talk to, you know, you push a button and you've got your friendly chatbot to speak to. There's something a little bit scary about that, where because I like working in organizations now, a lot of people have that sense of wanting things to happen immediately. And like, especially when you're talking about relationships, this isn't, it's not how it works. You know, you've got to go through that process, and especially when people do things that you're not expecting. And then how do you work with that? How do you work with somebody who's got a different perspective? And then if you haven't got the skills there, like the emotional intelligence to manage that, have that sense of patience and be okay in the discomfort, there are skills there that are we're losing as a society. And that yes and is something that can help in a fun way to bring that, to represent what's needed in relationship, that sort of valuing, acknowledging, accepting, and adding our own perspectives so that you've got multiple perspectives represented.
Yeah. In so many ways, this helps us hold all of the principles. And I'm starting to realise that both improvisation helps us as ORSC coaches, but also improvisation seems to live within the ORSC material. And I wonder, maybe let's start with firstly, how you feel improvisation can help us as systems coaches. So I know you do a lot of this work. You're also a front of the room leader. So how does improvisation help us to do what we do?
Well, I'd say, I mean, like one of the places I use it most actually is as a front of room leader, because we co-lead. So I always, like it's always in the design with a co-lead that we're always bringing in that sense of that yes and in the way that we work together. Because co-leads quite often have, you know, we have different ideas about how the course could happen or what could happen at any particular point, or even some different ideas about some of the concepts and some of the ideas in ORSC. And so the yes and allows us to represent and to lead through that third entity and finding each other right in every moment, and then adding on. So there's a breadth and a range to what we are delivering. And it works the same when you're co-coaching for a system to create that third entity. And funny enough, when you're co-coaching, I think with a system, it's even more important, I found, to have that yes and, because you can, like on an ORSC course, you can predict sort of, you've got an agenda and your timeline and know more or less where you're going. With a team, you never know what's going to happen next. And so it's even more important to have that yes and with your co-coach, and have a sense of that with the system as well, to be able to hold them right and to be able to hold them in the space of that yes and with each other, working with them.
I think that's such a good point around how this is so powerful in co-coaching and co-leading. And I think it's a magical experience to co-coach or co-lead with someone that actually you don't get on with that well. They're not someone that you'd be friends with. And yet you can have this magical third entity experience together that the room also feel. And that's taught me so much in my life. Obviously, Laurie's work, Laurie Shook, who created Alchemy. She talks a lot about how you can use this for parenting as well, and you know, partnerships.
Yeah.
And you can see how all of those differences actually that divide us, when we use this, we can come together in different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I use the idea of my personal relationship as well. And I think it's a super idea to sort of bring this into like personal relationships, and not personal intimate relationships, but also, you know, relationships at work and like with colleagues. So that idea of like respecting each other, I've always had this sense of relationship where relationship is at its fullest when both individuals or all in individuals are fully present, engaged in the relationship. When you sort of accept someone, particularly in a personal relationship, it's accepting the whole of them, even the bits that that maybe we don't get on with or don't like. And we have this idea from Gottman's work that there's about 69% or something, percentage wise, of issues or differences between you are perpetual. differences. And like, how do you work with that? If you're using yes and, then you can use that in a really creative way. There's that idea, yeah, and there's this idea too, and there's another idea. And I find I use that with my partner. We have enormous fun, I have to say, when we have a disagreement as to how we're having a disagreement. And some of these disagreements can be completely hilarious because, you know, because we're improvising on what's happening and we're adding ideas and to find a way of what's coming out. And one of the things, like this most important, like in work, I talk about this balance between task and relationship for leaders. But actually in Aust, we like one of the things that I think is so valuable about what we do is recognizing that any sort of like problems can be resolved when you're in right relationship with somebody. This yes and keeps you in that space, really enjoying, just really enjoying being in relationship with somebody. And then once you've got that, you know, it builds that acknowledgement, that trust, that rapport, that sense of collaboration. And it gets you into that creative mindset space where almost anything is possible. And then, you know, any challenge you're faced with, you can find an answer.
I'm so glad you brought in personal relationships too, because I think that's where this can be so beneficial. Because in many ways, in our most intimate relationships, we tend to end up with fixed ideas about people. I know who this person is. We've been together now for 30, 40 years. And in my own life, for example, I notice I can bring more of a yes, but with my mother. And I absolutely adore my mother. She's amazing. And sometimes I can assume, say we're talking on the phone, I can just assume I know what she's going to say. And either I'm showing up with the energy of yes, but almost like I'm trying to get her off the phone.
Yeah.
Or what I actually say comes with that attitude of yes, but. And it's a block.
Yeah.
And that's not just blocking her, it's also blocking me actually seeing what she's bringing in that moment. And it's such a gift, I think, to see people as they are in that moment. And I think anyone who's moved to another country and created new friends at a certain age, I moved to America in my 20s, and it was really glorious for people to meet me as I was at that age, as opposed to people knowing me from really young.
Yeah.
And I think if we really embrace this, we get to meet people as they are in that moment, not because of who they were.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Because I like what was coming up to me as you were mentioning that about when we meet people, that sometimes we have this prejudgment about the situation. And especially, you know, I have this sort of like issue with my brothers who still see me as the teenager. you know, and I think they've got no idea, like no idea what it is that I do now. So like it's interesting when we go, especially go back to family systems, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you're the son or the daughter or the youngest son or the youngest daughter or the oldest, you know, and you have your position in the family and everybody expects you to behave in a certain way. And there's that judgment there. I love that idea that you, like how you're saying, describing this, when you use this sort of improvisation rule, it takes you into what's happening in the moment. And you sort of need to let go of everything that's sort of attached you to the past or judgments or frames so that you can be there. And that allows you to be in that flow of creativity with this other person. And when you get into it in the fullest and the energy that comes up and like just such a wonderful experience. I think it's the experience of fulfillment in relationship when you feel really connected with somebody, where you feel really acknowledged, where you're sharing a contribution that's equally valued, and you're creating something new that represents the best of the both of you in your relationship.
Yeah. And in some ways, we have to work harder with the people we love and know the most, because there is a bit of that autopilot. Oh, I know this person now. And of course you do. And sometimes it can be that we treat them the worst. Yeah. Our clients might get this lovely improviser mindset version of you, and yet we go home and it's like, oh, hi, love. Yeah, how are you doing? And it's very yes, but it's not present and it's not embracing the principles. I think really the improviser mindset does it encourage us to embrace all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's sort of like I hear the resonance of coaching in what you say. It's like, because trying to coach somebody, you know, or in a situation or issue with issues that you're familiar with or an expert in, can be super difficult.
Yes, it can.
Actually, let go. I did in the early days try to coach my family and had some very interesting experiences and like of being able to let go of my own thing and about that previous relationship that I have with them. I was coaching my relationship between my mum and my dad, and I sort of like after an hour, I sort of thought I got somewhere with them, and then my mum said, "Did you get what you wanted?" You know, and I realised that all the way through, she's been trying to please me and trying to do the right thing for me. You know, I love my mum, God bless her. Maybe coaching wasn't the right. I'm not the right person, maybe, to give her any coaching in that way.
Yeah, it is fascinating, isn't it? How suddenly we can feel more alive in our relationships. These relationships that might have gone just a bit stale or a bit meh, suddenly you start to see them in new and exciting ways because systems are in a constant state of emergence. And I think of all of the principles, perhaps this is the one that the improviser mindset encourages us to embrace the most, because we're not stuck, we're not fixed, we're constantly evolving. And that can be terrifying sometimes, but I also find it quite exciting to live in that space.
Yeah. Well, I think that's that sort of excitement when we're teaching the OSC courses or leading the OSC courses. It is that sort of sense of excitement, which sometimes gets a little bit, you know, we talk about it as maybe a sense of discomfort sometimes when you're working with a system, that the system can emerge and almost anything can happen. And you don't necessarily know what's going to emerge.
Yeah.
We have this meta skill of being in the lines raw, which is when the system's like emerging a little bit too quickly, maybe in a surprising direction. It's the feeling that the coach needs to be able to stand in, to be able to hold the system as it's emerging. And you could call it exciting. Some, you know, it could go even further than that. But it's certainly what we call an edge for a coach sometimes, to be able to hold that. And certainly one of my edges as a coach.
Yeah. And yet when we really think about it, we're improvising all of the time. Whenever I use an improvisation exercise in a workshop, often you say the word improvisation and people get scared. You know, they think about their drama class from secondary school and there's that, oh God, I'm going to have to do some role play. And actually we're making everything up all of the time. Unless we're reading a script, we're always improvising and life is always a dance with sort of we have our expectations and then life will throw us something unexpected, a surprise. I think that's quite interesting to come back to. When we think this might feel scary and new, it's actually very much who we are and how we live.
Yeah, although I hear you say that. See, the thing is with that, we're dreaming stuff up all the time.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. Like, life is an improvisation. You never actually know what's going to happen next. And we've evolved to be able to anticipate. We dream stuff up. We make plans or we anticipate. We're trying to anticipate all the time. So we're dreaming stuff up. So what we're sort of living in a way is we're living in our dream and comparing what's happening in the world with our dream. But I think the wonderful thing about the improvisation, it says, well, you let go a little bit about this dream, about what the, you know, anticipated thing might be. Oh, what fun it could be if you open up the possibilities, let go some of these expectations and be open to what's emerging and happening in the moment.
That's great. So there's these two players. There's you and your dreams, and then there's life. And you can either yes but life, and it might be quite uncomfortable and feel quite unfair, or you can yes and all of the surprises that show up along the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting because I just saw you had this, you actually held your hands up on either side and said, there's dreaming and then there's life. And it's very interesting because that's a yes and, isn't it? It's like, well, life is but a dream. I think there was a song or something around that. But bring the two together. Yeah, the dream and can also separate us from life.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of movies. I put my hand up and say that, and love reading books. And yet these things like this, the film, the story in the movies often takes us away from that sense of reality.
Yes, you're right.
The idea that it's predictable in some way, that somehow the outcome's going to be okay because someone's worked out a story for us that they're taking us through. So, and, you know, we aspire to our dreams. There's so many things about, you know, become your dream and work towards your dream. We even talk about it in Orts with the levels of reality and how we work with dreaming and dreaming things up and manifesting our dreams. And yet there's something about, you know, which aspect, that balance between what is life and what is dream and how the two work together.
Yeah, and recognizing that our dreams are fluid, not fixed, because we may have this wonderful dream, or it may be a dream that's been given to us, and we don't even realize that we've inherited this dream, and how that can have some dissonance and tension then with our experience, our reality. And I think yes and is just such a useful approach for us to hold, yeah, fun moments, but also some of the challenges too, because life isn't always giggles and laughs. Sometimes it can be really hard. I think yes and probably is very powerful in those moments too.
Yeah, I love that. And also, it's interesting you talk about the word inheritance from, you know, in terms of our culture, our mindset, even our biology. And I study a little of evolutionary psychology, and it fascinates me because how we evolve as human beings, that we think like, okay, there's a physical like evolution, but the physical evolution is dependent upon, you know, who survives, whose offspring survive, is what that's sort of based on from Darwin. And the idea then actually that's related to behavior as well. So how we behave, the fact that we, you know, walk across the savannah and got food by hunting in packs, allowed us to develop the idea of organizing and communicating, and emotions even evolved through that, through how we can tell whether somebody's a friend or a foe, or even whether they're going to collaborate with somebody. And so all of that inherited biology is also, our bodies are in fact like a memory of our history. And when we talk about doing this creativity, this yes and, there's the previous history of all of our biology from our ancestors, but also then our own lifetime and the memories that we have within our lifetime. So there's many layers of different memories and behaviors that have come into us that are prompting this creativity, which also gives a scope to it, of course, and that's where doing it in relationships so much better. Because when you do it in relationship and create that creativity in relationship, you're not just limited to your own ancestors. You bring in somebody else's as well, who may have had like a different stream, a different thread come through their ancestry. So there's huge amounts of fascinating, you know, land to explore in all of this.
Yeah, and it strikes me that this is so useful for meeting the system where it's at. And that might be simply our system waking up with a slightly different body from yesterday, and actually realizing that maybe we're not as young, or we're not agile, or we're not as sharp as we were 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And that's okay. But often I think we're holding on to expectations. And this is really a practice in mindfulness.
Yeah.
Being present, being in the moment, being with the system as it unfolds. And what it makes me realize is that this is already there. And I think that's what's so comforting about relationship. And Sunchitsa actually said this on another podcast, that relationship can be an anchor for us to come back to, like the breath. It's always there. It's not something we have to try to find. It's there. We just have to keep coming back to it. And I think that's really comforting to realize that if we lose it, which we will over and over again every single day, we can keep coming back to relationship.
Yeah. And I mean, it's like you say, it's that sense that it's there, and coming back to it is like a choice to keep it. It is that, like that we talk about, that yes and. It's that even if you've had some sort of an interruption in the flow of the relationship, holding it as a yes and, coming back to it. And the and bit is what's next.
Yeah.
It's there's more, and there's something else, and we can add to what we've had of our experience. And it was a big learning for me about commitment in relationship, just the fact that being committed to the relationship, and regardless of like what happens, you know, obviously, you know, there are things that happen, you get hurt, and then it's coming back. It's learning how to do the repairs, as we call them. and to have the conflict and accept the conflict and to be able to do the repairs. And it's like this research that I heard about very long-term successful relationships, you know, it's like 60 years plus. And they did the research to find out what was the miraculous factor that, you know, kept these relationships going and healthy. And the surprising thing that came out was the longest, happiest, successful relationship was correlated with the highest levels of conflict.
That's interesting.
Which is not what you'd imagine. And it was just that they had the conflict, but then they'd have the repair bits very quickly. And it was that. And I think that's the thing, is relationship mastery, having that. You know, we talk about the improvisation rule. That's the window we're looking at this through. But it brings that.
Yes.
It says, yes, and let's repair. Yes, there's a conflict, and we can put this right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a yes, but we've been doing this for 10 years now. What a waste of time. It's turning towards and keeping on turning towards throughout.
Yes. I love this conversation, Katie.
Me too, Chris. Thank you for yes-anding me so skillfully throughout this beautiful dance. I feel there's so much more to discuss around this topic. You've opened up many, many doors for me, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. And you know, thank you. Like, who'd have thought, like, two words, yes and could bring so much and mean so much.
Well, on that note, Chris, thank you so much, and I will speak to you soon. Take care. A huge thanks to Chris for co-creating that conversation around improvisation in relationship. Here are my key takeaways. Yes and is a rule of thumb in improvisational comedy. And it's not simply about the language we use. Yes and is a way of being that can help us to turn towards relationship in our lives. By bringing an attitude of yes and, we also embrace the golden rule of OSCE, that everyone is right partially. In order to bring a yes and attitude, we first have to listen to the other person. We have to hear and recognise what they are contributing and acknowledge them as a person. With that word yes, we hit some of our fundamental human needs. So in its most basic form, improvisation can help us to listen better in our relationships, as it stops us from preempting or assuming that we know who the other person is and what they'll bring. Through improvisation, we can create a new space from two different ideas or perspectives. It's a third entity, or an our land, that encompasses the best of both. Improvisation can help us to stand in the principles of relationship systems intelligence and be present with what is unfolding in front of us. It's a skill set that helps us to meet a system, whether that be our bodies, a partner or a team, where it is at, and helps us to keep turning towards relationship over and over again. For over 20 years, CRR Global has accompanied leaders, teams, and practitioners on their journey to build stronger relationships by focusing on the relationship itself, not only the individuals occupying it. This leads to a community of change makers around the world. Supported by a global network of faculty and partners, we connect, inspire and equip change agents to shift systems one relationship at a time. CRR Global's unshakable belief is that relationship matters from humanity to nature to the larger whole. For more information, please visit crrglobal.com.